Is that this week?
Or are we recording now?
Hold on.
I'll probably started in, dude.
I'm starting it anyway, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I thought you did.
Send us off, dude.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to yet another Face Rocker podcast.
Welcome back, Freddie.
Yeah, thank you. I'm back.
Hey, great to have you back.
Thanks.
Hey, where were you?
I was back at home for my grandma's funeral.
I'm sorry.
Wow. Which, by the way, so according to Logan himself, last week's podcast sounded like just hot ass. So I apologize on behalf of us for destroying
straight
your
men
sound
might consider
systems.
Hot ass a good thing. So it sounded very bad.
Why only straight men? I'm pretty sure Damon would also like
that's
hot
true, actually,
ass.
Probably even more.
I'm pretty sure hot ass is something that everybody loves.
Yeah,
but in this case, we mean something that we don't love.
Yeah,
because it's so hard to achieve.
Cold ass.
Yeah, just icy,
floppy, gross.
Just
ass that didn't work
out of the buttocks.
A floppy ass.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it's like trunk butt.
What's trunk butt?
It's when the butt like comes out like a little trunk because it's all floppy.
Okay, like, but not like, it's but like, not like
it's
firm.
So I guess distend.
Brad and I are giving each other looks of disgust.
Well, there's two parts of an ass. There's the cheeks,
okay,
which I think is what you're thinking of. But then there's the cheeks surround the core of the ass. And I don't want to say a hole because that's
the
such a crass
core.
Term. But when
core was, core is
the
core.
Ass, the asshole, also often known as the ass core.
I like to call it the asterisk.
Yes,
and, I'm just talking about. Just,
I was saying if that's floppy, that's trunk butt because the core has been distended from being so.
That's disgusting.
Oh,
I didn't know.
It looks like an anteater who's got his wisdom teeth taken out.
Oh my god, is this Howard?
So that's pretty good. No, we're supposed to start with Lent. Let's go back to Lent. We're supposed to talk about Lent.
Oh, but this is appropriate that we're getting all this out because it's Fat Tuesday. Now, probably not Fat Tuesday when you're listening to this, unless Freddie's got, like, editing powers.
We're recording on Fat Tuesday.
And what is Fat Tuesday, for those of you who don't know?
Am I the only person
who does know?
No,
it's the day before Lent starts, and so...
Also known as Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Ash Wednesday, yes.
Is that just a Catholic thing, or is that all Christianity?
It's not all Christianity, but it's most Christians, I believe.
Okay.
I don't know. I think it's pretty much a Catholic thing.
Is it only
thing.
Catholic?
Yeah.
Maybe I think I'm it's pretty much a Catholic
thing. That's true, because, yeah, I think they're the only ones... Well, I should say... I guess me who walk around with crosses.
Are you going tomorrow?
I don't know, actually. Probably not, because I didn't even think about it. I went last year, I think.
The cat just did some amazing
shit. I only go if my girlfriend's going and she asks me to go. I don't think about it anymore. Does it ever bother you
that you're living in sin with your girlfriend?
Maybe that's something that she consider giving up
like
for
that.
Lent.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
That was weirds me out. Like, you guys remember that movie 40 Days and 40 Nights?
Yeah.
It's about a man giving up premarital sex for 40 days, like, for Christianity. Uh-huh. It's like,
Did you see it?
If you're Christian, this wasn't cool to start out with. That's like giving up killing homeless people for 40 days. It's like, good job. Now you're following what you're supposed to be following all the time.
I don't think it's a religious thing in the movie, though. I think they're just using the title.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah.
No, he's giving up premarital sex for Lent.
Are you sure? Actually take place during Lent?
Yes.
In the movie?
Yes.
The only thing I do during
Lent
is I start eating fish sandwiches at McDonald's.
Did you see the movie?
That's about it.
No, I remember somebody was telling me about the mountains of breasts in it, like the breast scene.
I don't remember. The only thing I remember of the movie is there's a scene where, like, since he gave up premarital sex, he's with this girl and he's like, oh, I want her so bad, but I can't. I don't want to break my promise. So he takes a feather out and he just touches her with the feather and pleasures her with that.
Jesus.
And that's successful in his endeavor.
To me, this is right up there with Twilight and like catnip for younger women.
Yeah,
who are actually frightened of intercourse, and so like the idea of like this beautiful man who wants to do everything
Josh Hartnett,
to you
from Minnesota.
He wants to do everything but have sex. Is like you know like a girl. Yes. Like,
there's seriously a feather tickling scene.
There's a feather tickling. He whips out a feather.
This sounds like a porn.
It is.
What porn was a feather tickling scene?
It's young girl porn. Like young chick porn. Yeah. It's like, you know, everything but.
All right, Logan, what are you giving up for Lent?
I haven't decided.
Are you religious at all?
No,
you just follow it?
Well, I just follow it. I guess you could say I'm a fair weather fan.
Were you raised Catholic?
I actually went to Catholic all boys school.
So did I.
School. Did you really?
I did.
I had no idea. We were always learning
you guys
new stuff.
We
always
learned
stuff about each other. This is incredible.
So fun.
I thought you were going to dig into Matt last week.
We had a guest. We had a guest. Right. We have to wait for one of these bland podcasts.
Yeah, then Logan will just turn it around.
One of the mill podcasts.
Not an exciting one with floppy butts and Lent.
Really going back to that?
Okay, let's.
So what are you giving up?
Well, first of all, so... Did we establish Fat Tuesday is the day that you get nuts? That's like the craziest day of the year.
And here we are, by the way, inside
partying our ass off. We actually have whipped cream vodka here.
Yep.
We're getting nuts. And after this podcast,
there's a cat on the table.
We're gonna hit the town.
with
the floats. We got the Hofbrau House, the classic.
You know, I don't think Fat Tuesday is about going to strip clubs and partying. It's actually just you're supposed to eat a lot because you're gonna fast.
Well, no, like Mardi Gras. I think the big Mardi Gras celebration is today, right?
Yeah, but Mardi Gras is separate from Fat Tuesday.
No, it's not.
Well,
no, it's not actually.
I don't think the Catholic Church condones.
We went to Mardi Gras. We went to New Orleans.
Did you want to talk about make fun of me for
Mardi Gras? Very deliberately on Fat Tuesday.
Fat Tuesday for a reason.
But really quickly, so you're supposed to party really hard on Tuesday because come Wednesday, that's the day that Jesus went to the desert for 40 days and fought the devil like in hand-to-hand combat or something like that. And then he got crucified by the devil.
Mental combat.
Yeah,
he went and fasted in the desert for 40 days.
And then he got crucified. But I don't know that story really well enough.
Clearly not.
Although I would really like to hear Logan's like retelling
Of the Bible.
Yeah, I'm just gonna from now on next week. I'm just gonna drop a random story of the Bible that everybody should know, and I want to hear your telling of
Logan's
it.
Version.
Wait, did I tell you, I kind of want to do you guys ever listen to metal songs, and they have the intros where they talk about like the wizard bleeding for his lost unicorn, like with the wind sound effects, and then they eventually go into the song.
I know the intros, but was that just an example, or are more than once you've actually heard
wizard
talking about wizards
unicorn.
And unicorns?
No, that was just
off the one. Okay, yeah,
I decided I want to do a 72 minute album of just that. I want to find an old man to get some wind sound effects and just like have a man like talk about like the wizard's weeping
and then
as he
Lothar's
like
tears fell from his
exactly. But just rather than like ever launch into metal, it's just like
I'll do the wind.
And then the wizard wept for his lost unicorn.
What you need to do is you need to have a guitar slowly.
Keep going.
You need to have a guitar slowly built so everybody thinks it's going to go to metal. Like, and then all of a sudden you just start talking again.
Well, Matt, you be the guitar, I'll be the wind.
I think I should be the wind, you be the guitar, Freddy.
Alright, okay, go.
And so the wizard traveled to the dwarven kingdom of Zabanthia to find the mercenaries that were to sail across the seven seas to fight the dragons of Baruthia. I need a fucking prep for this. And so the Pegasi tribe of Zadorn allied himself with the wizard sorcerers.
But they wouldn't overthrow the Dark Lord.
Dark Lord Kron.
Start talking again. This now is the time for a song. It's like everything. The guitar hits like the power chords in cage. It's like, it's going to happen. No.
Oh, shit.
What's that?
Okay. That was a good 3 minutes of radio.
I think we could do it. I think we could write it in a weekend and just find an old man, record it, add some wind.
That's
loops.
What Craigslist for, man. You gotta get some Craigslist
for all those
dudes.
Old men. Just to like go to the like random hookup section and find some old people.
Christopher Lee or bust for that.
Brian Frenzy could actually do a good old wizard.
We should do Brian and just put this out.
Yeah.
Put it out on iTunes and see what happens.
It's gone flat. Them, you guys.
guys,
Wizard Tales is the new big thing.
Dude, there's all the hip-hop artists are sampling it.
If we can get wizards to that level, I'm down. So anyways, what are you guys giving up for Lent? What are you gonna do to simulate Jesus's fighting of the devil in the desert?
I don't know. Well, you didn't say yours. What are you doing?
Oh man, I don't know. Like, usually it's give up chocolate. I'm just messing with you. The thing is, everybody's always like, yeah, you know, I'm gonna try to simulate Jesus' suffering by giving up chocolate. What about just like grabbing a nail and just driving it into your chest every day? That seems a little bit more like on par.
So yeah, chocolate, right? Yeah, because he didn't have chocolate either.
But you really like chocolate.
I couldn't get that up.
Arguably, you like chocolate as much as he liked mankind. People. Yeah.
Yeah.
As a kid, giving up chocolate was a big deal. At this point, like, you can do 40 days is not that long anymore, so you can do without chocolate pretty easily.
I think if I was gonna really do this, which realistically probably not, I'd give up alcohol. That'd be my big one. If I could give up booze for 40 days and 40
that's
nights,
that's more like it.
Just yeah, that's reasonable. For a grown up, that's who's not a straight edger slash Mormon slash Quaker. Like that's pretty
Quaker
slash Quaker. The only
have you ever seen a Quaker like in person?
Quaking or just walking around?
He's got really like Dr. Susie. Logan, have you ever seen the Quaker Quaker? Quaker?
Well, that's why they're called Quakers, because they quake so much. Otherwise, they wouldn't be called that. They'd be called people.
I don't think that's why they're called Quakers.
I really think so. Wikipedia, guys.
I really, man, if you could teach like a high school history class, it would be so worth it. You should teach for America and teach a high school history class. Just go to the corrupt youth.
I might have some news next week, but I actually might be influencing the young minds of America way more than currently.
What?
Delete that part of the.
I'm not going to delete that part.
Yeah, delete it. Seriously. Delete it.
It's not happening.
No, you have to.
We'll find out next week.
Huh?
We'll find out next week.
But you didn't say anything, so nothing's been ruined.
All right. Anyway.
Whatever is said here, Logan,
you can't take
what's said here.
We also put this live broadcast onto a wax plate and then immediately upload.
It's your fault if you say something
on
here.
By the way, speaking of young minds being corrupted, I randomly was reading about ear candling. You probably saw this on Twitter. Did you see this? I was reading about ear candling. You heard about this?
So my understanding of ear candling is you put like a tube in your ear and you light it on fire at the top, right? And the idea is that the heat is going to create convection that sucks the wax up, correct?
Out of your ear, yeah.
And you say it doesn't work.
It's like just thinking about it and just like sort of thinking about the concept is the most clearly bullshit thing in the world.
Where'd this come from? Like, are people doing it now?
People have always done it. In fact, I know. I know people who swear by it.
Oh, really?
So it is horseshit. It is like the most obviously horseshit.
Really quickly. I don't know where I stand. First of all, they've proven it.
One, you can take the candle and like hold it over like little, like just like dust. And like, they've measured it. There is absolutely no airflow up through it. At all. And then two, all the like quote unquote wax that you find after you open up, it's like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of wax. It's all from the candle itself. Yeah, like, light the candle somewhere and it'll have that exact same thing. Yeah. But people swear by this. And I was like, I put this on Twitter and then like I got so many people coming back like, no, shut up, dude. My uncle does all the time. It works. You can see the wax. It's like, oh, are you kidding? I really wish that in schools they taught like the mentality of like, your burden is you have to prove to me that what you're telling me is not total horseshit.
So it's actually
like, that should be the like mentality that kids should have.
I think that's a common problem right now that actually multiple parties have complained is that people do not question what they're told or address it with any sort of...
No, that's actually not the... So there was a study, not that recently actually, but they've been doing these cognitive studies and it's oddly, that's what you think it is. That's always the common thing. It's like people, you know, they don't question. That's not what it is. Is they found that when people feel strongly about something, the more information you give them contrary to it, they start believing it stronger.
They only key in on the information.
Yeah, so the more evidence you give them that ear candling doesn't work, they will just begin to believe it stronger, which is the biggest problem with political discussions, because it doesn't matter how much you inform the public about, you know, various scientific facts about cloning or things like that. They will just believe it stronger.
I think you can train somebody how to be less but you can practice being less dogmatic. Mm-hmm. That's the problem with that is that people
get this cat out of here.
This cat's just ruining everything. He's literally licking Freddy's face all up and down. It's really weird to see Brandon a cat
gentle.
Lick a face that hard. what you really need to do is make people try to be objective individuals who do not have an opinion going into a situation.
Yeah, well, it's funny too because you mentioned this.
By the way,
Oh, no, Brandon was very nice about it.
I was very nice.
The cat was actually biting him the whole time as Brandon.
The
cat
actually looked at me in the face and he actually nudged over to, like, to a different room, like, "Hey, you want to get out of here?
Let's bounce."
Let's get tacos. Hey, yo, it's Taco Tuesday, guys. There was a study where they found that if they basically gave people statements that were totally false but dressed up with scientific pseudo babble, like they just took random things from brain,
like aliens being found this week.
We'll get to that in just a second. But they did that and they found that basically whenever there's this like scientific pseudo babble, like the percentage of people who believe it like as true is like just shoots to the roof. Yeah. Like, oh, this must be true.
There's so much
when people don't understand.
There's so much babble here.
When people don't understand it, they just then accept that it's probably more likely than not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
True.
Really quickly, before I'll throw bacteria on there. But what would you guys give up for Lent? I would give up alcohol, but probably won't.
If we were to give something up for Lent,
or if we are getting up for Lent. So, I will improve myself by continuing to work my abs as hard as I've ever worked before.
Someone has suggested an abs exercise for you.
I tried to do it for an hour straight, and I just didn't get tired, so I need to get some of you guys.
Logan came in with a Titus. Logan came with the tightest clothes today that our roommate pants, literally just commented on pants, how tight his clothes
these
are.
These pants are so tight.
Yeah, it's like it's
everything. This shirt is literally from 8 years ago.
It's like a rubber band.
It's a Bruce Lee shirt. I actually feel a little uncomfortable sitting next to you.
It's a Bruce Lee shirt, but it's in French.
It's so tight that Bruce Lee's right eye is bulging out from your peck.
I'm glad he called it peck. That makes me feel bad. If you had said tit, I probably would have felt bad.
I don't know. Could very well be.
How are you guys going to improve yourself or give up shit?
I think get back on the pull-ups. I always think it's kind of crap to give up something.
Yeah.
I always, because it's like, what does that actually better yourself or the world? If you're not doing something that's better
like
yourself
crack
or the
cocaine.
World. Well, yeah, I mean, that's an example.
And it's usually not a real sacrifice anyways. It's like, I'm giving up jelly beans.
Alcohol is a good one because that's going to improve your health or whatever. Yeah. But it's like, if you're going to give up chocolate, I mean, that also improves your health.
Yeah. To be fair, both those things you chose in small doses are incredibly healthy, both chocolate
but
and
who,
alcohol.
But
yeah.
Who has small doses crap. Of chocolate and alcohol?
Total crap.
It's not total crap.
I always think it's like for
oh my God.
I have a book.
No, we're going to bring up alcohol and chocolate because I got this research on this.
Yeah, it's well known alcohol. That they're great for you.
Alcohol is great for you, actually.
Only as a suppository. That's what's so weird about it.
In the enema form, actually.
You've just been doing it wrong.
Very beneficial.
You've just been doing it wrong.
No, I always think you should do something like go volunteer. Be like, instead of being like, I'm going to give this up, be like, I'm going to volunteer at a soup kitchen. I'm going to do this.
So
I'm
going
to work out. I'm just naming examples of things.
But are you going to do it?
He's going to do all
the
things.
I think... Well, all the above, yeah. Usually the best answer.
Like, that seems like a great thing. I mean, I know you're busy, but do you think you have enough time to actually volunteer if you wanted to?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it. We'll all do it together.
No. I'm not going to lie. I'm just going to no. I'll say I was trying to be
specifically minded.
We touched a higher plane of existence there. And then we just went,
nope, I just crushed it.
Because
I'm not, no, there's no, it's just the fact that I'm not going to find time to volunteer.
People,
no,
of course.
Well, no, that's not.
They're there because it's their fault.
Those are things to say. People who are just disabled, right?
Or you can give gifts that are like charity for somebody else instead of giving them a gift. You say like, I donated something in your name instead of giving them a gift.
It's all about cash, man. You gotta get out of that mindset.
No, right? Oftentimes it's like giving a goat to a family.
I give a
donating.
Goat or half a goat. I'm not exactly
sure. Are you for real?
Yeah, the Heifer Foundation, they let you give animals. So it's like, as opposed to like being like, hey, here's some food. It's like, hey, here's a farm animal.
You realize everything is
milk. Don't give money, though. Give time.
I prefer
time is money.
I prefer giving my time and getting personal, like taking a kid out.
Mm-hmm. So taking a kid out? Oh my God. High that's school. So much more detrimental.
I wish there was. Is there anything that exists where it's like you could go and just like take a kid to the park? And
yeah, it's called being a big
them.
Brother. There's like the Big Brother program.
I don't have a younger
children.
Oh, there is? Wait, you're serious?
Yeah,
yeah,
big brother
it's like
the biggest.
There's always one Big Brother program episode in every comedy.
Yep.
Like
every
that's
single
like,
comedy.
Every single comedy has the Big Brother episode where it's like, I signed up for the Big Brother program.
It's like, oh, really?
Well, that sounds great. I mean,
I think you'd have a blast with it.
Yeah.
What's really ironic is you actually are a Big Brother. And like, I wonder if your little brother would actually feel like cheated.
My
if you're like,
22,
if you signed,
though.
Yeah, but if you like signed up, do you think he'd be like, "What? Am I not enough for you?"
Like, well, there's nothing we can do together.
Yeah,
it's like I wanted to go out.
Why are you taking out Jamal? Like, can't I play the?
We should get some.
You?
We should be big brothers. We should be big brothers and pull them out of school for roller coaster day.
Ooh, roller
Matt,
coaster day is coming up. Yeah,
can you get me a beer?
We might as well just quickly mention it here while Matt's in the bathroom.
We can mention what roller coaster day.
Yeah.
Is,
so every Logan, are you coming to roller coaster day soon?
I don't know when is it.
I think it's going to be early April weekday.
Yeah.
All day.
So that's basically...
Possibly.
Yeah. So basically the way it works is every theme park has, you know, days where they go on weekdays, weeks where they go weekdays open, and then weekends open, and then there's weeks where it's only weekends open. The trick is right when they transition to that, so right when they go from weekend only to weekdays and weekends, or the other way around, there's no one at the park. Because it's like the lowest sort of traffic, and they're also training people and stuff, which is the best time to go because there's no lines.
I assume you guys are talking about Six Flags.
Six Flags, yeah. So we're
thinking
gonna do
about it again now. I think we might actually have to push it by a couple weeks, just because Cedar Point, I know, is not going to be open this early. California, like southern areas, are now like going to be open for weekdays.
You've been to Cedar Point, right?
We have not. No, it was close.
Wait, you're from the fucking Midwest. You've never been to Cedar Point?
There's a big difference between Minnesota and Ohio. That's like 1,000 miles.
Who gives a shit, dude?
It's a long way to go to the theme park.
So Cedar Point, for those of you who live on the coast like me and don't only know about it through Midwest friends, is the best theme park in America. Like, if you ever watch like a Discovery Channel special on roller coasters,
it doesn't have like 10 of the world's
Every new roller coaster breaks a record, and then, you know, someplace in like Taipei or something like breaks it.
Those Asians
and their craftiness.
Get in there.
But what's really awesome is this terrible economy has emptied out the park. So last time I went, I was going on like the world's tallest, fastest roller coasters every 15 to 20 minutes. Like, I would just run back into line. Like, I rode a ride that went so fast that I was, like, having bugs hit my eyeballs.
Top thrill dragster. Top thrill dragster.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going on that front row, no less. Thank you. Like, it was like, I was literally sitting, I would get into the front seat line, and it only took 15 minutes, as opposed to 4 hours, as it was.
So, anyway, for people, we're going to try and figure out where it is. We're going to try and actually get a group discount rate at a... on the Six Flags website, see if we can't do that. So if you're in the LA area, we're going to be doing roller coaster.
You guys
day.
Think you have enough pool that you could actually just get free tickets?
Well, here's the thing. It's not free tickets. They do like a group discount.
Have you thought about just calling?
Oh, yeah, we'll try
like,
that too.
I have a shit ton of followers.
It's worth
Can
worth
I
a
get
shot.
Free tickets?
I feel, like that'd be a, I feel like that'd be a better reason not to give us free tickets.
Yeah.
Why?
We're coming no matter what.
Yeah, we're coming. We're everybody.
Well, assuming nobody's listening to this podcast, you don't tell them, like, listen, we're coming no matter what. No, you don't tell them. You're like, listen, look, I'm going to give you the hard sell here.
Not Fairy Farm gives us free tickets and free food, but we love your place.
Yeah.
Way more. So if you just give us free tickets.
Anyway, stay tuned. We're going to be posting details.
Pretty
being
quite adequately explain it. Basically, whenever we decide Roller Coaster Day is every year we go, we pick one day right in the spring where we go to the theme park. And this year we're going to call everybody to come with us, whether you can come to the one in LA, which would be Six Flags that we're near, or if you're anywhere else, cancel your plans for school, cancel your work.
We'll have a list
work,
of good excuses that good you excuses, can use.
Yeah, go and just quit and go to a theme park and we'll all
a
have
theme
a good
park,
day.
Any theme park.
Any theme park. Preferably the one we're at. I mean, that'd
or
be the best.
Or just party yourself. Just jump on a trampoline outside.
So did you now? This yeah. last year did you guys actually know?
Last year we tweeted it out like 20 minutes before, and this is like we didn't have anybody following us, and we're like, this is gonna be great, and nobody showed up.
Well, it's just
in the,
so
it was in the car
ago,
while we're in the parking lot.
How many people were following you on Twitter?
I don't remember. It wasn't enough.
It wasn't even 1,000.
We just started the YouTube channel like a month prior.
Our 1 year anniversary from like, the first video that we did.
Ruin the microphone.
Thank you.
Clap, 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 clap.
Yeah, it's been 1 year since Monday. We did Portal.
How does it feel?
Yeah, it's fun.
Good. It was the most I've ever worked in a year, but it was also I feel the most like reward
satisfied.
From it.
You satisfied. Feel, like, feel
yeah.
Happy.
So, yeah.
I mean, you guys aren't doing too bad for yourselves.
Yeah. No, it was fine. It was good. Like this has been like it's been a year where it's like we did basically what we love to do for a straight year, and it's been great.
Congratulations, guys.
Oh, what's your shoe size, Logan?
10.
You could probably borrow a pair. We're getting Heelys.
What are Heelys? Are those the ones
what
with
are
the
Heelys? You sent me that text message.
Are those the
wait, you don't know what Heelys are?
No, Freddie just sent me a text message. He's like, man, we're getting Heelys. What's your shoe size?
Are those the shoes with the wheels inside of them. And we were too old for them.
Yeah, well, they
you're
originally
never too
only,
old. You're actually never too old. I'm no, actually
that's what I'm saying.
So they originally made them only in child sizes, and so when they came out, they didn't have them in adult size, and we were just too big for it. So
but now they have adults,
and then they added adult sizes, and we never have gotten them since. So finally, we're all getting awesome. Heelys.
So
I'm excited.
My understanding with these is that the wheels actually stay out the entire time. I always used to think that you like deploy them somehow.
Kind of. No. You have to change how you walk a little bit.
You're kind of like walking on high heels almost. Your heel is higher up because of the wheels back there.
The heel, yeah.
You can't when you're walking after if you don't want to roll, you can't land on your heel.
My body is its own machine. I don't need any.
I don't know. Wheels freak me out.
Wheels freak you out.
Wheels freak you out. Like,
man, you could fight a bear.
They go all fast and shit. Like you know. Yeah, that is.
It's gonna be great. We're gonna have so much fun.
All right, anyway.
I'm
excited.
Anyway. All right, I'm gonna bring up something.
All right, what
let's
are you
talk
about.
No, let's talk about coin thieves, Matt.
Coin thieves?
You're running point.
Yeah,
on
tell
this
the
one.
Story.
Running point on this one.
Oh, it's got so an interesting story.
Coin thieves?
I guess it's gonna be
coin thieves. My coins?
The thieves stealing coins.
These are not
Brandon.
Non-monetary
I think you
coins.
Actually like this story.
This isn't just like yeah. Actually, you'll appreciate this. No, this actually goes into because we started talking about Jonathan Blow and then we stopped and actually some people commented that they wanted to hear more.
I'm really curious.
Yeah, they did actually. Yes, he did. So I was like, I want to hear more about social gaming.
Matt, what's your coin story?
So, anyways, coin thieves. GDC. They're doing a talk on social gaming.
Game Developer Conference happening this week.
Yes, they're doing a talk about last week. Talk about social gaming and the game. So they're gonna have this talk and the game at the talk was as you walked in they gave you a coin and they had a bag of coins. You got a coin. And whoever had the most coins in the middle of the talk would then get to come up and do like a celebrity rant.
And like, you know, talk. That was the only rule.
That was the only
whoever
rule.
Whoever got the most coins.
It was the only rule. So it was all about, you know, who you could talk to during the talk and like how you could get people to give you the coins.
Everybody got one coin to start.
Got one coin to start. So Jane McGonigal is this famous, I guess, I don't know what you call her, sociologist.
She's famous for ARGs and social sort of games. So
and gamification.
Like,
yeah. She just came out with a book. Which is pretty good, actually.
We talked about her. More
yeah, we talked about her.
This is a talk, so everybody's just sitting down.
This is our third McGonagall.
Yeah, exactly. Thing. So anyway, yeah. So she was of course going to win because she's famous and she's getting all of her friends to give her the coins and we wanted to hear her talk anyways. So this one dude, he comes up and he goes up to the person. He's like, "Hey," the way he actually said it was, "Hey, actually, they want to change the game. They want half. They only want to give out half the coins as part of the social network game. Could you give me the bag?" So this guy came up and talked to the door holder who had all the coins, and he said that she's like, "Sure, here, take the bag." And he took the bag.
He pocketed.
He got the whole fucking bag. So midway, they're like, okay, who has the most?
And Jimmy know they started losing their shit. Like after 5 minutes, like, oh my god, somebody stole the bag.
So then he jumps up on stage and he's like, I have the bag. And they're like, no, you don't. He's like, you want to see? And he takes it and he literally poured all the coins over his head.
He literally showered himself in coins. He's like, I win.
And everyone was like, you broke the rules. And he was like, what rules? And here's the thing, it's like, I won't go into his rant. I don't agree with everything he said, but I gotta say, they showed everybody at that GC got, in my opinion, humiliated because that guy played the fucking game. And instead of just accepting it, they started bitching about it because
they're like, "You cheated. Let's get Jane McGonigal up."
And Jane McGonigal, I like your book, but I gotta say, everybody there acted like a bitch.
How many did Jane have?
A fraction of the man who fucking gave the system.
This man is a hero. This guy's a hero. Everyone was bitching.
What's amazing is she's still stuck on it. So I follow her on Twitter. And like 2 days ago, they're like, so this explains the coin thieves' actions. And it was talking about people who have cognitive dissonance, like Gaddafi and Charlie Sheen.
What?
And how like they have disconnect with reality.
All right, sorry, no, we're not talking about her anymore because she's a bitch.
No. Well,
it really pissed me off.
But it is kind of annoying because here's the thing. Number one, you guys made a poorly designed game. Just admit it. You made a shitty game and you couldn't follow the rules.
It's totally fine, but when somebody games a system like that,
well, exactly,
you have to accept it.
Well, they didn't make any rules on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what they wanted.
To be fair, he socially engineered it. Anybody could have done it. It wasn't like he hacked it. He fucking was like,
all right. And he brought up a legitimate point where she was essentially in the same way exploiting because of her celebrityness.
Yeah.
Or celebrityness, I guess her celebrity, how popular she is, her status. Yeah. She could get all the coins. It's the same thing. He gamed the system. That's what that game was all about. Was about how you could get the most coins.
Yeah,
and
he won.
He
won
fair and square.
They didn't let him win. And what happened was, is they gave Jane McGonigal the talk anyways, and then they said you could have 10 words. He said you could come
words.
10, and then he talked all he wanted.
Yeah.
So to be fair, a lot of what he says about social gaming, I disagree with a lot. But who was this guy?
Is
he a Ram dude?
No, he actually runs. He has some Facebook game company. I don't know. I haven't heard of it.
He's got some blog.
He's got some blog. Yeah. I don't know who he is.
He has a Mac Me site.
This will probably be the biggest moment of this game's career.
I applaud that.
But
guy.
It was, yeah, it's just, it, you know what it is? If they had just accepted it and laughed about it and been like, yeah, this guy showed.
It would have been totally fine.
It would have been cool. They would have been like, yeah, this guy
the
showed.
The fact that they ignored it and gave it to the celebrity is like such a, yeah. Sorry, guys. I think Coin Thief won that one.
He did win. I love the industry, but no shitty.
That's your little lesson for the week or cool little story that you can share at the lunchroom.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody will be interested in that story.
So you also want to talk about another casual game thing, Jonathan Blow, right?
Well, Jonathan Blow is talking. I'm just curious, what do you think?
For those of you who don't know who Jonathan Blow is, he's an independent video game designer. He made Passage is probably his best known game, correct? Who am I thinking of?
You're thinking Jason Roar. Who's good?
Okay,
too.
So Jonathan Blow is Braid is his most famous game. You can download it on
his
Xbox.
His only game right now. But yeah,
he must have made a game before that. Somebody doesn't.
I'm sure.
That
yeah, that's
yet.
True. Yeah,
which is a time modification game in line with like
people know what Braid is.
Yeah.
There you go, Logan. Explain everything for us.
Well, the big thing about Jonathan Blow is he's kind of a... Sorry, Jonathan. You're kind of a pompous asshole.
I love he's that we're addressing one of the these guys as listening. If they're possibly listening to this.
Yeah.
Listen.
He comments on
this
everyone.
This is on the internet, and he's probably going to Google his name because he's a pompous asshole.
Should I tag it as such? If like Jonathan
this is all
Blow,
Logan.
If you tag this as Jonathan Blow, he's going to find it. He's going to listen.
Hey, Jonathan Blow, are you listening?
What has he said that has offended you so?
The man released like one game that's like well known, and somehow he feels like he can comment on everything.
Okay.
Which I guess we're doing all the time.
Yeah. We release nothing.
And we don't even have a game under our belts.
Yeah. You know what I think of? With my beard. in my experience. Anyways, just talking about, because this just goes on to social gaming. I've never talked about social gaming, and actually it's kind of interesting in general.
When you say social gaming, what are
you talking about? Okay, so we are talking about Facebook games and Farmville. Let's just say Farmville.
So pervasive games don't count?
We're talking specifically about Farmville, because what he said was that they were evil. And I'm not sure.
So only online Facebook games. So the idea of like...
The reason is...
A real life ARG... Yeah. Doesn't count here. We're not talking
about... No, we're not talking about that.
That's inherently more social.
Yes, that's inherently more social. We're not talking about, the nomenclature being incorrect or not. But the reason being is that he essentially equated it to gambling, whereas, yes, other game companies try to make money, and they try to, you know, Valve wants to retain all their users. But by definition, essentially social games, what they do is, Jonathan Blow's claim is that they purposely make their players' lives less happy in order to draw out money. Essentially the same thing that gambling does. So it's more his problem is more the intent of what the designers are doing.
They're not trying to make you less happy, though. They're exploiting human behavior, which arguably World of Warcraft does too with
raids. Yes, so that's the question: is what is there a difference? Do you think there's a difference? Because clearly,
in all cases, you're people hacking. And when it comes down to it, it is a business, and what you're trying to do is retain your users. And the most powerfully addictive thing is not rewarding behavior consistently. It's actually rewarding behavior
sporadically,
randomly. Mm-hmm. For instance, if you had a rat and every time he pulled the lever, he definitely got a pellet of delicious cake.
Yeah.
I don't know what rats like. Do they like cake?
They like pellets. They like everything.
Pellets. Just pellets of anything.
Right? Yeah, no matter what is in the pellet.
As long as it can be more rat.
They like presents. Rats are very thankful. Anything you give them.
They're
appreciative. Everybody gives rats a bad rap.
We can learn lessons from rats as humans, I think.
Yeah, I think we should be thankful for
them. We should be thankful.
Be thankful. I'm being thankful.
I'm learning from rats and being thankful.
Yeah.
So anyways, they'll do that a consistent amount, but they'll get bored of it. But if it was a random thing, like you roll a dice every time and that decides when the pellet gets dropped, they will do it just forever. They'll just keep going. Like
that's why Peggle is so popular.
Exactly.
There's a balance between randomness and
that's why in World of Warcraft, it's like every time you beat the raid boss, you don't automatically get a shield. It's random, right?
Yeah.
And then somebody randomly gets that. It's as random as it gets.
Yes.
And that's why World of Warcraft is so inherently addictive.
But there is actually... The difference is there's things you learn or skill involved at the same time.
Is it, though?
It is. I mean, you can laugh at it, but I mean, there's clearly people who are good at it and bad at it. You can't be good at
the skill of being able to sit down for 3 hours and deal with strangers on the internet.
You think about your skill for World of Warcraft. As opposed to your app workout, you're right.
I'm socializing with my friends.
They're all across America. I'm going to meet them in real life one day. IRL, Mom.
My bigger problem is not with
Jimmy actually used that once in the height of his World of Warcraft addiction.
He went IRL?
No, he didn't say that. My mom was like, you need to go outside. And he's like, no, I'm socializing with people all over the world. I was like,
Freddie.
So did I ever tell you about this?
I want to bring this because Freddie's laughing at this. Freddie's mocking this idea of socializing on the internet. Is that really?
Socializing on the internet is okay. Socializing in World of Warcraft is a facade of socializing.
Oh, that's not true either.
I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm saying that I think going it is real socializing. Is better.
Really quickly,
it's going to be that way more and more.
My little brother Blade.
Going outside, going outside and what, Freddie?
Socializing.
With who?
No, playing jump rope and doing contact juggling. And shit like that. Matt's a professional contact juggler at this point.
Going to the park and busking, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so Blade was actually addicted to World of Warcraft. To the point that Blade had like shit tons of homework in high school, as most high schoolers do now.
Blade is, just for clarification, somewhat improbably named Logan's younger brother.
The coolest name.
And so he finished his homework at 8 p.m. and then he would literally play World of Warcraft until 4 in the morning. To the point that in high school.
That's rough.
And so it's mega rough because you'd have to wake up like 2 hours later. And it just kind of fucking ruined him. To the point that when I visit, when I go back home, at 2 a.m., Blade would be playing World of Warcraft and my dad would come in blurry eyed, just in white briefs, with his little gut hanging out and be like, Blade, you gotta shut that off, bro. And Blade's like, just 5 more minutes. Just 5 more minutes, Dad. He's like, 5 more minutes, we gotta go to bed. And he just every 20 minutes, Blade would finally give it up. And so finally, my dad was like, listen, Blade, we're gonna make an agreement. You give up World of Warcraft, and I'm gonna give up alcohol. And my dad's like, I'm sorry, Blade's like, all right. Because my dad used to down a wine bottle a night, right? So we're like, okay, so
see how long this is worthy.
It lasted one day.
And then who cracked?
They both came aside and they're like, listen, I'm just gonna keep drinking and you just keep playing World of Warcraft.
Your dad walked over to your brother on the computer drinking wine. just
wasn't in this. This is the novel.
And so, and that's why the Olsen family is one of the most addictive personalities on earth.
So, is there a difference? Is there a difference between not? So, obviously, I think the difference that or the problem people have is that one, the World of Warcraft is addictive, but they're not charging you money for every moment that you've chosen to keep playing.
Well, they've so changed, all the
is that a difference or not? Is that
the only difference between World of Warcraft and Farmville?
Mm-hmm.
Is one of them 3D? One of them's 3D and requires a video card, and the other is
that's not. The only difference.
And the payment schedule. One of them is microtransactions, and the other is subscription based.
But there, so you don't think there's a difference between microtransactions?
Wait, you can be an orc in Farmville.
Well, okay. Narrative. Okay, there's narrative.
I'm kidding.
And one could argue that World of Warcraft actually requires some sort of game skill.
Because there is a difference between subscription and microtransactions, so, which is what gambling is.
I guess the big one for the cases of morality's sake is microtransaction versus subscription.
So I guess the more I've gone into like kind of behavioral economics and how you can manipulate
because
people.
Because Matt, in addition to being really interested in success.
In success, which is my number one
which
interest.
Which is your number one interest on Facebook. Number two is behavioral studies.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just that people clearly, we like to think we're special and that we all think, in unique ways, but it's bullshit and people can be manipulated.
No,
and
we're robots.
And operating on that margin on such a tight schedule is, I don't know if it's immoral, but it's definitely different. Like a subscription, people can plan to be like, I have this much money. And you're seeing now more and more people are getting in trouble with the in-app purchases. They have to change them because kids who don't understand what's going on, or even people who just don't notice like the dollar going down a day, are getting bills of like $1,600, which if you did a subscription for a year of $1,600, would buy it.
Kids are having that problem?
Yeah, kids are on their parents' iPhones and there's like in-app purchases, And they're like, oh yeah, buy. They don't tell you anything. They just say buy and they just click buy.
The whole easy, and like people making it easier to buy is so amazing.
It is.
It's, like I just blew, so if I go to a restaurant and somebody's like, hey, you want to buy this for $10? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I like $10 goes a long way some places. But I literally, I walked in, I heard one good song, and I just bought the whole album for $10. In a matter of 30 seconds, I was like, that song's pretty good. Album purchase. You sure? Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Can you imagine if a restaurant, if they just promised that everything was under a dollar that they were going to give you, and they just kept coming by and said, would you like this?
Would you like this?
Yeah,
they would
spend $50.
Oh, yeah, they do that Fat Fish. You remember?
Yeah, Fat Fish, exactly.
What is Fat Fish?
It's a sushi place that's everything's like $2 no matter what.
And it's on a rotating thing, I guess. And then everyone's like tops out, like, yeah, like 5 or 6 plates, and I go, I get like 20 plates.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'll go there and it'll be cheaper, and they end up spending $20.
And yeah, like, my girlfriend and I will go and we'll split 5 plates, and so it'll be $10 for the both of us. And meanwhile, Freddy's eating 15 plates by himself.
That's the Costco effect, right? Like everything at Costco is $5, but I actually have somebody every time I go to Costco now. There's an employee that comes up to me that lets me know that I benefit from having an executive membership because I'd actually earn more money back at 1% than the cost of my membership.
I guess the difference is that...
Wait, really?
Yeah, they're like, you're a power user at Costco.
No like, way.
Way.
No way. Way. I'm coming way. With you to Costco. I want to see this.
Yeah, like they literally, every time I check out, somebody will run up with like this little computer and be like, if you just upgrade your membership, you'd actually make money back.
You'd save money.
You'd save money just because you spend...
At that moment, you would save money, and then you'd be spending more money.
No.
What do you spend on at Costco so much?
So I actually have like a
protein
shake. Protein shakes.
The danger, obviously, when you buy it in bulk.
Tight shirts.
For those of you who don't see Costco, tight shirts, just the tightest shirts around. The danger of Costco is that you buy it in bulk and then you throw it away, right? But I've managed to actually...
Well, not really that you throw it away, that it sits there forever.
It goes bad in some cases. Yeah.
If you buy produce.
But there's a few things I get. They have amazing baked bread, like rosemary and olive oil bread.
We've talked about that.
Which we talked about.
I heard about it.
Don't bring that up again.
Delicious bread. Cheap as fuck at Costco. Beef jerky, because I'm a beef jerky maniac. Fruits and nuts.
What kind of beef jerky do you eat?
All about fruits and nuts. Whatever they got there. It's like $10 for 2 pounds of beef jerky. And like 10 pounds for
real beef
like,
jerky, or is it this shit that's...
You guys remember Minnesota.
Oh, I know real beef jerky, yeah.
I mean, this
and
was...
And also on the way to Palm Springs,
this
my
was,
girlfriend
you know, this wasn't smoked
jerky.
By a Texan like in the wilderness,
yeah, okay,
but
so
like, yeah.
It's a different,
can't
it's
eat
different
it.
Thing.
But, can't
but,
eat it.
Yeah, but, you know, I jam on some of that with some fruits and nuts, and that's breakfast, And then you can
you
get
have,
like
the frontiersman breakfast. I remember one of my favorite quotes from you is you came in once, like, really excited when we were living together. You're like, Freddy, I figured out a new diet. All you eat is oats. I call it the horse diet.
I remember the horse diet.
I love how beef jerky has become like a delicacy. Like it's almost like it's like an expensive food. Whereas formerly it was like the poorest.
No, that happens a lot.
Wait, what is this?
Well, beef jerky originally was invented so that you could, you know, store meat for forever.
Oh, yeah,
so
it's like hard, it's like hard tech. It's like what sailors
now,
eat.
Yeah, and now at this point, we're like, this is, you know, like sailors are forced to eat this for months on end.
Yeah, and they hate it. And now we willingly buy it.
Or like lentil soup, or is that escargot? I have to imagine that's how escargot is made. There's no way that was like a delicacy.
Well, that's like lobsters used to be the rats of the sea.
Yeah, lobsters are delicious.
They were just wrong about lobsters. But there's,
what do you think is
next week?
What do you think
next week, let's talk about lobsters. Like, put it on the agenda. Okay, let's talk about lobsters.
What do you think is up next, by the way, for food that everyone's like, oh, this is gross, but it's going to eventually become something that everyone just.
Or what's a food from our current time that, like, you know, 500, a couple hundred years from now is going to be like, this is like delicate.
Well, in 500 years, we probably won't be eating food anymore. We'll probably just be beings of light.
For those of you who are just joining us, Logan is a professional futurist. So everything he predicts.
Have you had business cards made up yet?
Futurist.
I actually make my business card as explicitly. Have you seen my business
card? 100 years in the future, we're not going to have
business cards. Really? Do you
have it on you? Yeah, probably.
Pull it out. I want to see your business card.
It's in my car. I'm not going to have it.
Phrase
it
judgmentally.
No. Let's see if I have one in my wallet. I have explicitly made my business card as nondescript as possible. You cannot tell anything about me from my business card.
You've succeeded, Logan. This business card looks like shit.
My only regret is not having a better paper, like card stock.
Is that it? Here, let me see.
But it's like gray paper, which is three things on it. My name, a phone number, and an email.
So why did you want to be as nondescript as possible?
My goal is for people not to judge me on my business card.
Well, a couple things.
Well, they will, though.
Well, a couple things. You are asking to be judged. One, you have raised type.
Exactly.
To begin with.
Raised type, the most elegant of the types.
So you gotta go all the way if you're gonna not be judged.
Secondly, you're doing the dot, so it's your like 310 dot, you know, number.
310.425 dot, what's the rest of my phone number?
That's an email thing, though.
Say your phone number. I don't know. Where do you learn how to do the dot, by the way, Logan?
It's very American Psycho. I was going for the
American
Psycho. Oh, no, that's totally what I was going for.
It's like raised. It's
so not discreet. You want people to judge him, but you'd be like, okay, this guy likes American Psycho.
Yeah, exactly.
This guy's a man's man.
Huh?
Looks like, what, Palantino?
Probably, yeah. I'm a really big Palantino fan. Actually, Palantino and God, what's the other big one?
Garmont.
Wait, let's not talk about
Bookman Antigua, maybe?
It's very functional. Your business card is very functional.
Combined with my really nondescript way of dressing and looking. Like,
by the way, as Logan has a giant Bruce Lee shirt on. And also, one of my favorite shirts actually is one that you got in Europe, which is, and you will wear this in public sometimes, which is pretty bad. No, Man of War, which has tits on it. No, the one with
Man of War.
The Alexander shirt. Which is like this. Which is this, he has a shirt. That's
I'm thin
like
enough. I can go back to wearing that now.
Oh my god! It's this like bright blue, yellow, super bright shirt that has like literally four naked boys. Like,
no. Okay. So the front of it is Alexander the Great riding a horse. Okay. Like amongst many colorful beings, and on the back is an old man, I believe Socrates, being lifted up by four naked boys.
And you'll wear this in public, by the way.
It's so loud. It's the loudest shirt I've ever seen.
It's like we'll be walking along with you and like people will like turn their heads, like literally turn their heads from there.
The first time I wore it, somebody turned around, they're like, I guess you're not getting lost today. Because I was with a group, they're like, your group's not gonna have any trouble finding you.
What color is it?
It's every color.
It's like every color at a thousand.
It's like wearing a rainbow of different young nubile boys.
Oh, it's like simultaneously the gayest shirt I've ever seen.
It's the boldest shirt. And I used to wear it with a bright red plaid pants. So like that combination, along with like my samurai ponytail, like
Jericho ponytail.
Yeah, I was making a statement.
Yeah, and also your American flag sweatshirt, which is...
I don't wear the American flag sweatshirt enough anymore.
Which you bought on the street, if I remember.
Yeah, there was an RV man that used to live next to us back when we were in the Hell House owned by the Persians. Yeah. We'll get into Persians some other day. I don't know how much you actually want to talk about that. I'm surprised the American flag t-shirt hasn't made it into any appearance on any of your videos. We have
some ideas for a sequel to Jedi Assholes.
Really?
Return of the Jedi Assholes.
Did I tell you guys I got actually recognized?
No. And really?
Dude, you're right, Freddie. If you get recognized on a date, like that is win. if you're with a girl and a random stranger walks up and is like, are you from X? And you're like, yeah. Like, you, it's
wait,
like,
wait,
you
tell
might
me
as well
the story.
Just,
tell
how
story.
Did you play that off? How did you play it when he said
tell
it?
Tell me the story first. Tell the story. Yeah.
So I was at an art gallery opening,
and, art gallery opening. Yeah,
and some random
very
dude
unlikely.
Just, this random dude just runs up. He's like, "You from Jedi Assholes?"
No
is,
way.
At this point, is, what, is it 2 years old?
Or, it's a year old.
It's a year old. It's a year old.
And he's like, I'm like, "You bet, bro." He's like, "I didn't know, but then I saw you flip your hair."
No.
Oh my god. He's like, and I was like, "That must be him."
No, wait, were you with a girl at the time?
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, "Yeah, bro." He's like, "Can I just get a picture?"
Oh, what do you? Oh, yeah. You got a picture?
Like, so the girl had to like take the picture. I'm
the girl took the picture.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's great. Like, good job, bro. Good job.
You
that's
found
incredible.
Me.
You found me. Congratulations. Only
what,
time.
What did, what
only
did
time
the,
I've ever what did been chick say?
What did the girl think?
She just kind of chuckled, and then she's like, "By the way, I googled you before this date."
Wait, do you show up? Does that video show up when you Google you?
No, no. She just told me about Sky High, the trampoline thing. She's like, "Yeah, you're really easy to find on the internet."
Was this a how about we?
Huh?
Was this one of the how about
no,
we?
Fuck that. Fuck that shit. Like that? Never doing that again. No, this was Mindshare.
Mindshare. Okay.
I will say, if you Google me at this point, I finally replaced all the links from my high school past now with new links. You know,
that's
you,
good.
You,
that's good. That's
you basically
good.
Can't find like the old stuff anymore.
You're really hard to remember your last name though, and also it's really hard to find your Twitter. Like my Twitter is literally, if you type in my business card, you will find my Twitter.
Yeah.
Like hands down. That's like, true. But I have to like go searching for your Twitter anytime I want to at you. Like I have to like go Googling and stuff. And I'm like, all right, that's what Brandon's name is. Okay, cool.
You can't remember L A A
T. Brandon J L A. Yeah.
So
I tried to avoid the last name because the last name's hard to spell.
Oh, it's bitch. Yeah.
So yeah.
It's really, anyways, let's talk about let's talk about something other than how to contact us on Twitter. I know how you guys are really into this. I want to talk about pleats.
First of all, what are pleats?
So this is going back to like mints and deodorants as like the most boring of topics. Well, go
listen,
ahead,
hey,
Logan,
if you
please.
Guys are bored, so here's the problem with commenting on this thing. Nobody who hates it is going to comment. That's the problem. Let's just leave it.
Yeah.
But if you hate it, please comment. Please, please shit on us in the comments.
So Logan pleats. Gets a kick out of it. Pleats. You'll love it.
There's nothing I love more.
What about pleats, Logan? Shooting.
So pleats. So there's two types of ways that you can have your pants, right? You can have your pants be flat front, which means that the waistband just goes straight.
I'm already
right?
bored.
Mm-hmm. Or you can have pleats, which is where they you have so your waistband and you literally take the pants and you like fold it over so you have like the folds in your mm-hmm. leg, yep. which gives you this puffy sort of like
Brandon's
umbrella
hitting
pants
the booze
look.
On this one. Okay.
Yeah. And I think it makes you look like
pouring
an
himself
asshole.
A nice tall.
And I think they're coming back though. Is the problem?
Are they coming back? I don't think I've seen them ever.
You know how they're coming back? American Apparel just released a giant pleats like ad campaign.
No, you have to see if anybody else also releases it in response to American Apparel.
Well, the problem with pleats is they just make you look like a fat ass. Like they make your pants all puffy.
Yeah,
which is really cool if you're like 50 years old. But
or
like
MC
you
Hammer,
bro. Yeah, you look like MC Hammer, but in khakis, which is like the worst of both worlds. Right? Like, who wants to see fucking khakis MC Hammer? Like, if they released like pleated pants that were just like star patterns and rainbows, like, fuck yeah, I'll do that. I'll jump on that ship. But like.
So, you would wear them if they were more, if they were louder?
I'd wear them if the fabric was like ridiculous prints. Like, if I could get pants that were just like. Pictures of unicorns fighting Jedi.
We prefer if they weren't pleated, though.
You can.
We prefer they weren't pleated.
Stopping you.
If they had the same pair of pants, both of them with wizards and unicorns fighting on top of a rainbow, but one was pleated and one was not, which one would you get?
It depends what I'm after. If I'm about like looking good and making friends, no pleats. No pleats.
But you still wear the rainbow unicorn and
absolutely. Okay. But if this is about like you know having a party, like so the question is
guarantee you.
Like why the fuck did somebody even come up with pleats? And the only explanation I can think of is to give your junk some space. You know? Like, that's the
but it's on your legs.
I assume
Lord
it's like...
Lord knows it needs it.
Yeah, Lord knows my junk needs
some
it.
Some of you know what we're talking about.
It needs
about.
To breathe, right? and you know, like, your junk needs to breathe if you're partying. So, like, my guess is, like, if you're partying really hard, you want some pleats.
I don't think
so. Okay. Pleats, the original party pants.
That's why they were party pants. That's why they're
someone
made.
Needs to edit the Wikipedia to reflect that. According to noted futurist
and also historian now.
Futurist and historian. He spanned
fashion
he
historian.
Walked both worlds. Logan Olsen pleats were the original party pants. So that 14th century aristocracy could allow their junk to breathe when they were partying.
Why
so,
did he say when you're partying you need your junk to breathe?
Because it's flopping all over the place, getting all nuts, you know.
So you want extra flopping room?
Yeah, man. It's like when you're doing jumping jacks. Well, okay,
you want to feel it when you're doing jumping jacks.
That's how you count.
You got two choices.
Counter.
You got two choices. It's either buckle down or go hog wild, right? 0 or 100, nowhere in between.
That's true.
That's true.
So
preach it. Preach it,
bro. To me, pleats are the 100. Preach.
So when you partied in high school with like girls and you did your like first dances or you like learned to grind and stuff, did you wish you had pleats or was flopping around instead? Or?
Oh, here's,
you
must, here's a question.
You must know by now that I didn't see girls. I didn't grind in high school.
Yeah. How old were you when you figured out that it's okay to get an erection while you're at the dance floor?
Yeah. Oh, this will be actually. I still wait. Really? I still never learned that lesson.
What? Did you know that girls actually are attempting to give you an erection?
Oh, we're yeah, but I'm also attempting to piss off everybody at the mall. That doesn't mean it's okay when they smack me in the face. You know, like just because I'm trying to do something doesn't mean it's okay.
Just because I'm going for a hot dog on a stick doesn't mean I can just start grinding, Brandon.
Yeah, no. I remember in seventh grade being mortified, like when dancing, control.
Well, it depends on the erection. Wait, it depends on the dancing. Like if you're fucking like if you're just grabbing the girl's hips and you're just like slow dancing and you
and also
like,
you're pointing at them.
Yeah, and then you're like, well, the problem is, like, you know, when you're built like a horse, like, it's not like a cute little thing.
Yeah, no, it's tough. People scream.
People freak out. Like, they're like, oh my god, he's got a gun. Like, you're like, no, this isn't a gun.
It's my dick.
This is my me.
And these are screaming even louder.
We're not talking about slow dancing.
Say, this is me. This is my body.
No, we're talking about grinding. We're talking about grinding.
We're not talking about
getting all up in.
Or girls in elementary school, like, sitting on your laps. And there's nothing more terrifying than, like, my god, I'm going to get an erection right now. And they're going to call me a freak. Right?
And then you got it. And they're like,
yeah.
Like, yo, Matt.
You know, you built like a horse.
You built like a horse.
Yo, Seabiscuit.
I never had the phrase, yo, Seabiscuit, tossed at me.
My goal now.
I remember once, as a joke, one of my friends in high school.
And then I want them to go, yo, that was a photo finish.
Not because.
I want, that was a photo finish.
What does that mean?
Well, if you're racing horses, that means I'm so
close. I know, but why would they say that to you?
Gentlemen don't speak of such things. Now, gentlemen will speak of erections and grind.
But no photo finish. Not what
they will not talk about photo finish.
No, we're not going to talk about photo finishes, Matt. Jesus.
Photo come what? On. What do you think this is?
What do you think this is? This is a classy podcast for the most discerning of gentlemen.
This isn't some erotica podcast. We're not going to talk about velvet-tipped shafts in this podcast. That's not then. Just then. That was it. Never again will we talk about velvet-tipped shafts. Again, except that time.
But, you know, other than those two.
So, if we're talking about men's style, maybe we should talk about the ultimate in men's style, swords.
Yes.
Let's talk about swords a little bit, because if there's one thing that we're lacking in our modern-day wardrobe...
It's swords.
I have a box of swords right behind you.
That's pretty cool, but do you wear a sword every day?
Well, no, because you get arrested.
When I was in high school, I went on the internet and I ordered a sword cane because I thought it was really cool.
Like Zatoichi style.
Well, it wasn't like...
Yeah, wait, should we know? We should talk about Zatoichi.
I've never purchased
nobody
a
knows what Zatoichi is. For you talk about Zatoichi, I'm going to use the restroom.
You mean the blind swordsman?
Yes.
That's all there is to say.
He's a Japanese swordsman.
He's blind. He's really good.
They've done like 20 fucking movies.
Yeah, they've done like 50 movies.
He's kind of like the Spider-Man of Japan.
So Logan just explained everything there is to know about Zatoichi as he went into the bathroom.
The Spider-Man of Japan. Swords. Well, you know, it's first of all, I had a sword cane in high school because I was a cool dude. And what was really disappointing?
Why did you get one?
I don't remember. I think
you brought it to high school?
No. I didn't bring it to school. This was post Columbine. You can't pull that shit off. I just had one, and there was never an occasion where I could use it.
Do you still have it?
I think I do. It's in the closet somewhere.
How much did it cost you?
It was like a bargain at like $25 or something. This is like
in high school. It's a lot of money.
In high school, it is. In high school, it is. It was like, oh my gosh, $25. No, I have some embarrassing high school stories of things I bought that I thought were cool.
Like what?
Well, first of all, let's go around here real quick. What was your first album that you bought?
I don't think I've ever bought albums.
I bought Garbage 1.0.
Garbage 1.0. So, all right, pretty
good. I guess, like, I bought, like, the Gladiator soundtrack.
I bought soundtracks.
That's good.
Like, Jimmy's, for example, was, he did two. He got TLC's fan mail and the Willennium album, right? We're dating ourselves here. Mm-hmm. My first album that I ever bought was the original Chrono Trigger soundtrack.
Most of the viewers don't know what we mean by awesome. When we say album. Really.
Oh, yeah. An album you see is a CD. Yeah. And
used to
buy music at stores. Yeah.
And so what was the store called?
Where did you buy it?
Online, man.
It's not that... I mean, that's...
That's not that dated.
I mean, that's not that nerdy. Well, I mean, it's nerdy, but it's like... At least it's Chrono Trigger. I thought you were going to say like...
What was the name of the music store? Sammy's?
It depends.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Sam Goody.
Sam Goody.
Sam Goody. Yeah. Sam Goody. What? There.
They used to sell video games early sometimes,
so I'd try to go there.
Yeah, so I...
that was a close call.
So, yeah, no, I had a sword, but here's the problem. I never had an occasion to use it, except once it kind of fit into a costume for one of the formal dances.
Wait, you brought the cane sword to a formal dance?
Yes.
And what did you do with it? Did you ever unsheath it?
No.
Did you ever unsheath your sword at a formal dance, Freddy?
The occasion did not call for it.
Was it because the girl didn't want you to unsheath your sword?
Oh, no, the ladies, of course.
I think it's soda, not beer.
Logan.
I think we're out of beer, actually.
No.
Logan's
don't open up
very,
like my wine size beer.
Disappointed with
Logan was holding up like cream soda. I was like, Matt, it's good.
Yo, Matt,
can I hit this?
Matt, I'm gonna hit this right here. This cream soda.
What about this one? Can we split this?
Oh shit!
Split this.
That's a no, isn't it?
Go ahead.
Bring it over here.
Once that's open, it can't be unopened.
We're gonna drink this whole fucking
shit. I have my glass out. Read the title. It's Avery's.
You guys can't talk about VGHS at all, huh?
It's Avery's Russian Imperial Stout.
For all you beer aficionados.
Yeah, the Tsar.
I'd be curious to see how many people can actually legally drink beer. Listen.
They're drinking, yeah.
That'd be a good poll, actually.
Anyways, Logan Herman, get another topic going.
Swords. Right.
So, wait, what happened with swords?
I brought a sword cane. I had a sword cane in high school.
But what did you want to talk about?
So, there's like two main categories of swords, right?
Yeah.
There's Eastern swords, aka samurai swords. And there's Western swords.
Well, there's also one-handed.
I would say one of the funniest things is I had a fencing.
Okay, well, there's a thousand different types of swords.
Yeah, but
broadly, very broadly.
Yeah, so I had a fencing coach in the high school.
Were you a fencer?
I did fencing for
a year. How were you?
I was okay, except I went up against the guy who was the Washington State champion. Literally went to our high school. He was a year below me, and he was like absurdly good.
Did you saber?
Are there?
I did saber and foil.
Are there weight classes?
No.
No, right? Because you're not tackling
each
other.
No, but here's the funny thing about fencing. There's two funny things about fencing. One is if you're left-handed.
Really quickly, for those who don't know about fencing, what is fencing?
Oh my god.
Everyone knows what fencing is.
If you're left-handed,
the only reason I know anything about fencing is because of Freddie explaining it to me back when we used to do Krav Maga. But I don't think, realistically, most people think
people
fencing.
People know enough about fencing.
There's a dude sword fighting and they're wearing masks and they beat the shit out of each other with little.
Well, no, there's
a
little point. There's a point on the, in foil, there's a point on the top that like actually it's a button. So if it touches your, you know, sort of upper body and at a certain pressure, it goes off and the electronic thing scores it. But with fencing, if you're left-handed, you're automatically incredibly good because most people are right-hand. You have all this experience fighting like right-hand people. And the funniest thing in the world is when two left-hand people fence because they don't know how to do it because they've never like fenced against someone else who's left-handed because it's so rare. So
it sounds hilarious.
It's hilarious. This entire time, we're all pouring beer.
Trying to figure out how to pour this beer.
Adam Lyons from a couple weeks back is actually a fencing master, and he's challenged Freddie at any time to a fence off.
I'll be destroyed. I think he's actually good.
You've reified him. I think you can do it. Adam, if you're out there, I think
this fight,
beat
no,
your
Adam is
ass.
Out there, and this fight is going to happen.
This is going to happen.
Yeah. Anyway, so
listen, hey, if you need backup,
we're going to video it.
I can totally do the WWE-esque, like, I run into the ring and, like, pile drive him. You want me to do
that? That'd be good. Can I tag you in?
Yeah, you can tag me in. Now, I can't sword fight, though. I can only use these.
These two guns.
Yeah, these two guns,
thunder and lightning.
All I got is thunder and lightning, you know? So, anyways, which one's cooler, samurai swords or like barbarian swords?
So let me tell you
the
funny thing about that. So I had this British like fencing instructor, and he would always like rant about how Japanese swords were inferior to the
in their make.
No, in the fact that he was like, why would this? He would talk about the kendo forms. He's like, you could just lunge and stab him. That was it. And it's like, well, I mean, I guess, but he's like. He was very adamant that the Japanese swordmaster stood no chance against a French nobleman who had taken fencing.
And did this resolve itself?
No, it never did to his satisfaction. And I was hoping, like, you know, some.
Well, it should be noted,
show.
Adam, who's a traditional Western fencer, did fight a kendo master. And according to him, assuming he's telling the truth, he beat the shit out of that kendo guy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But I'm not talking about the sword styles.
The type of swords itself.
I'm talking about the type of, like, if you had a choice between owning
a
samurai sword
things,
and, like, a Conan broadsword.
Well, here's one of my favorite things, like a Scottish claymore or something.
Yeah.
Like, so one of my favorite things about swords is, like, it's such a nerdy thing to have that, like, the Chinese have gotten in on it. And it's, like, you can get, like, samurai sword sets for, like, $20 and it comes with the
Oh, you can get swords for really cheap.
It's
the danger
so
is don't ever use it. Don't ever use your cheap ass sword.
For display use only.
Yeah, because the thing that makes a really nice sword nice, outside of, you know, actually having good metal.
Do you know this, Logan? Like,
well, yeah, I know a lot about swords. I used to be a smith. And
did you?
No, fuck.
I thought maybe you're
24. What was that when I was like 5 years old? I go to smithery school.
There's somebody that for a road trip like said, come to my dad's house.
Come to my dad's house. Also, I also had time to get a BA and an MFA. Yeah, fuck that. Anyway, one of the real dangers of mega cheap swords, because like once you get to higher levels, it's all about like metallurgy, right, and like sharp and stuff. But when you're talking about ultra cheap, fuck all that. Your sword, I guarantee your sword probably can't cut through like a fucking Coke can. What's really dangerous is the hilt. Well, yeah, the hilt, like how the sword is actually attached to the hilt, right? Which is where you hold it for all those who aren't sword.
Oh god, sword masters and, like Logan.
Sword masters like mine self, or should I say thine self? And
ye shall
break your sword, because
barely have cleaved my blade.
A cheap ass sword actually has no way to like really solidly connect the hilt and the sword. It's usually just glued in there, so if you swing it hard enough, the sword blade will just like rocket out of it.
Yep.
So that's why you should never use your cheap ass sword.
So that what you want to talk about?
Well, no, here's the thing.
No, I want to talk about which one you guys actually prefer, which I still have not gotten any sort of
clear. Samurai.
Okay, thank you.
No, Western.
It's a binary question. Western. Freddie, where you stand?
I choose neither, because if I had a choice between like a well-made samurai
that's
sword.
That's a bullshit answer.
Yeah.
Well,
the
Middle Eastern.
You better really knock it out of the park.
Middle Eastern. Damascus
like a
steel.
Scimitar.
Okay, are you familiar with Damascus steel?
No.
Oh,
it's,
yes.
It's a type of steel.
Brandon knows
like,
Damascus.
Please, Damascus steel?
I know Damascus.
Wiki this shit. It's a type of steel that was sort of made in the Middle East that has like, they still are not sure how they made it. And it's like, it's kind of like samurai steel.
But some know.
They're still not sure. They know.
No, they don't, because they don't know the exact methods for it. They have
Is it stronger than the steel we know today?
It's ridiculous.
You know what?
Incredibly strong.
Every sword cuts through people. So it's more about weight and how it feels.
Not every sword.
Any sword designed to kill people.
I guess
you
should be more specific, because there's like the metal, like there's the metal point portion of it. But I was really, I guess what I was looking for was the like the look,
the style.
The style of it.
Oh, the
like,
look. Yeah. If I had a choice, oh yeah, Scottish claymore, of course. It
of
just
course,
looks
right?
Cooler. Yeah.
The same.
Yeah.
Way, what's really
it's
interesting
bigger
is
than those
sword,
those
just
pussy
like
swords.
The straight. Yeah. Yeah,
like the fucking He-Man sword.
Well, like
right?
The master, the fucking master sword from Zelda. If I could just own the master sword from Zelda, or Aragorn's sword.
If I could just be Yelda for
just a
couple.
Be Link,
from Zelda.
It's interesting
please.
That everybody's so adamant about that, but it really feels like samurai swords have sort of taken over.
Well,
like,
if
you look at Sucker Punch right now, none of those chicks are carrying. Right? They're carrying
it's ridiculous.
Swords.
That movie's ridiculous for that reason alone.
Okay,
here's why. Wait, here's why.
Let's talk about Sucker Punch.
Let's go. Why is that, though, is because
samurai swords are lighter.
They're faster. They're lighter. You don't really, like, just quickly unsheath. Do you know what was awesome about Kingdom of Heaven, the one moment that sold
that
movie?
We cannot talk about functionality in a movie that has girls in, like, schoolgirl uniforms flying around fighting giant robots.
The form of
20
it.
20 minutes
big,
of it.
A clunky, straight, double-edged medieval sword would look ridiculous.
Held by that hot chick.
It would though. It would look ridiculous.
I don't know. I think that's pretty hot.
We should set up Sucker Punch.
Samurai sword.
Hold on, real quick.
Sucker Punch is a special movie to us because basically Matt here is a lover of Zack Snyder.
I like Zack Snyder.
Visionary and director for Zack Snyder.
The rest of us
hate.
Yeah, we talked about this. I think I like
Dawn of
the
Dead.
Opposite direction. I like Dawn of the Dead. I like 300 more than Dawn of the Dead, and I'm one of those people who think Watchmen's incredible.
Logan and I went and saw 300, and we
laughed our asses off. It was so unintentionally funny. Dawn of the Dead.
I don't buy.
Dawn of the Dead
is
awesome. My favorite zombie movie, actually.
Dawn of the Dead's really good.
But
don't buy
unintentional. You know why Dawn of the Dead was good? It was not Zack Snyder. It was James Gunn, the writer, who's coming out with Super now.
Yeah,
you guys seen
James
the trailer
Gunn's
for
great.
Super, by the way?
No.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
It looks really good.
James
and,
Gunn's a baller.
Slither was great, too.
James Gunn is totally a baller.
He's also married to the chick from The Office.
Not anymore.
Oh.
Now he's dating some model or something.
And he did PG porn, which is... The first two were really funny. Then
no, the point is though that Sucker Punch is a special movie because we basically pinned it as the moment where we're going to decide whether or not Zack Snyder is a good filmmaker or not. And
or
Matt,
a hack.
Matt,
yeah.
And that,
well,
that's the moment where it's like an
what,
original
wait,
movie
for you or like
it's
partially true.
It's his
why?
First original movie because everything else is adaptations.
See, wow. for me it'd be as he's not a very good writer if this is a bad movie. I still think, you know what it is? I think no matter what, it doesn't change the fact that I think he's one of the best visualists and stylists.
He is so good. Right, yeah. Any movie where you have somebody jump off a high precipice and land in a specific pose with one knee down and one hand down and the other hand like slightly tilted back and they look down and then they look up at the camera.
That shot is cliche.
It's the clichéest. And then they cut from that to something where it time ramps as they spin very slowly. And then it cuts to that to just chicks in short skirts.
Like always, it's a trailer. And as anybody who does film know, the vast majority of shots in films are pretty much all the same.
No, Freddie.
Who's that guy who edited all the Oscar movies together? And you can tell there's a visual language, and whether it's
the difference is
money shots. How about the shooting the arrows? When was the last time you've seen arrows being shot in a movie that looks different?
But there's looking the same, and you don't notice it, and looking the same, and you're like, I've seen this shot in a million other shitty movies. Which is what Zack Snyder, it's like he watches, like, all the top 20 action movies for the last 3 years, and he's like, I'm just going to
come. What was that shot in Watchmen?
It's undisputable that Zack Snyder is visually excellent.
He is visually excellent.
You can't bring up Watchmen because he just took the frames from the thing. That's not
100% true either.
Freddie, did you ever upload your Watchmen? Time corrected.
Yes, I have.
Did you upload your time corrected Watchmen trailer?
Oh wow!
Can you put that unlisted on Freddie WTO?
Oh, I don't even know if I still have.
To be fair, I don't know Freddie's Red Watchmen because he doesn't take Watchmen. It frame for frame.
It should be noted, Watchmen is a fantastic comic.
You haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, but I've read the comic.
Yeah, but you haven't seen the movie.
It doesn't translate.
The comic is incredible. I think you did about as good of a job.
I did happen upon the movie once, and I watched it for five minutes. I was like, oh, maybe this is. It's pretty good. It was Rorschach, like in the gym. I'm like, you know what? I
want to know what the moment is.
And
also, you hated it.
And then it turned to an action scene, and it time ramped. And the moment that time ramp happened, my dick just went limper, limper than the most gimpiest.
Here's the problem with making something so good that everybody copies you is that everybody instantly hates it. It's the same thing with Bullet Time, speed ramping.
No, I love Bullet Time. To this day,
Matrix after everyone used Bullet Time. I hated the Matrix, the first Matrix.
I don't hate on Bullet Time, and I think time ramp has its place. It's just Zack Snyder overuses it.
In Watchmen, I think he uses it. That was one of the things that everybody was like, he uses it like three times.
Man, I'm gonna be quiet for 2 minutes.
Okay.
2 minutes. I'm actually just gonna think to myself why I fucking hate Zack Snyder so much. So continue.
Be fair.
Let's talk about Del Toro. I'm not gonna think about anything else other than why I hate Zack Snyder so much for 2 minutes. Okay. You guys, you can go about your business.
Everybody say whatever.
Anyway, the point is that we pinned Sucker Punch as the movie that we're gonna basically come to our collective decision about whether or not we like Zack Snyder or not.
I don't believe
Logan excluded.
I will admit he's a bad writer.
We've had this debate sort of nonstop because every Zack Snyder movie we go, we come out and we're like, well, that sucked. And Matt's like, no, that was good. Well,
wait. This is all lies so far. I've never seen a single movie with you except for Legends, Guardians of Ga'Hoole, which I didn't like.
No, we discussed.
And you liked more than
afterwards.
Me. Yeah, but we've never watched a Zack Snyder movie together other than Guardians of Ga'Hoole. And you liked it more than me.
Well, no. Okay,
first of all, did Freddie like it the most of us?
Yes, but
in the end, yes.
But you did not come out of that being like, well, that sucked. You came out of that movie being like, that was pretty good. You liar.
These are all lies.
Matt was in pain.
I came out in pain. I was like, oh, that wasn't what I wanted. But there's visuals that were so cool, and then I thought it was edited. Like,
Matt wanted to love Guardians.
I wanted to love it. Because also, I'm a Redwall fan. It was like Redwall by Zack Snyder.
I mean, the biggest problem with Guardians was three books. There are three sequences.
By the way, I called on the ride out without knowing. I told you. I said, you know what? I bet you those three books.
No, and this is you where did they not
separated.
Call that.
They did. And I said, this is where they're
I'm
separated.
Ready. I'm okay, ready, by the way.
Okay. And I went on Wikipedia, and it was exactly where they were.
It wasn't 2 minutes. It was like a minute.
Okay, all right. Logan, go for it.
It's a real argument.
The beef I have with Zack Snyder is he is completely insincere. At least the movies he makes. There's no point when I watch a Zack Snyder movie do I go, he really believes what he's making right now. It feels like I'm watching a fucking Old Spice commercial. It's like,
so here's
he got 2 minutes. Hold on, let's hear it.
I didn't have 2 minutes to talk.
Yeah, that's all he had.
Well, it's just like it feels really prepackaged and bland and generic. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can tell Zack Snyder movie is a Zack Snyder movie is if it has the color palette of of Gears of War and time mapping. And it's like, congratulations, you're fucking Cliff Belzinski. Good job, dude. You're Cliffy B.
He doesn't do time mapping. So the biggest problem with that is, one, he did three adapted works, and I, one thing I disagree with that.
And they all look the fucking same.
Dead, 300,
I take
Watchmen,
that. Don,
300 Watchmen and Dawn of the Dead all three, look completely different. No, no, different.
300 Watchmen and Sucker Punch all smell. You, okay, if you watch 5 minutes in motion, big things in motion. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying still frames.
Okay.
If you watch them in motion, you're like, it's got time ramping, it's got this muted color palette.
You know you could also say that about? Yeah. Scorsese. You know you could also say that about? Spielberg.
Auteurs. Yeah. Just auteurs in general.
I disagree. All three of those movies look completely different.
No, but here's the thing. There's different ways you can identify who made something. It's through the performances, through the character, through the thematics, through the themes.
In Scorsese's case, the bizarre editing choices, which are awesome.
Or it can be through the fucking time ramps.
To be fair.
Good job, dude. You've built time ramps into an authentic piece of shit style. Congratulations, Zack Snyder.
So what's
good luck with fucking Superman.
So
can't
anyways,
wait to see Superman go from fast motion to slow motion.
For however inauthentic Zack Snyder is, he's probably the most influential stylist in what past. I can't think of anybody who's copied more right now.
Well, right now, yeah. So, before this, there was the Wachowski brothers, one which is a woman, and they were turned into pariahs after
Speed Racer. I'm just saying, I just don't buy that as inauthentic for any reason other than...
I don't smell any emotion outside of Dawn of the Dead.
That's fine.
The only reason Dawn of the Dead has emotion is because I bet James Gunn was on the set the whole time being like, yo, Zack Snyder, you know what would be fucking awesome? And Zack Snyder's like, yeah.
Slow things down? No.
He's like, don't slow it down. Don't slow it down.
You read 300, right?
I love the comic book. I love Watchmen, the comic book.
So you read 300.
Let's talk about 300. First of all, all the stupid crap in 300.
That's what I want to talk about, though. 300.
Did you read the comic book, Freddie?
I did, yes.
How did you feel about the comic book?
I like the comic book.
You mean, did he use the comic books as his storyboards?
Yeah.
But you know what the big problem was? It's fucking using the dialogue. That's a Sin City's big problem, too. Mm-hmm. Stuff that reads really well doesn't necessarily sound really well when it's coming out of the
mouth.
Yeah,
I call it the subtitle effect.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And, I mean, I hate Sin City.
I'm not the biggest fan of it either.
I pretty much hate any Frank Miller movie that's been adapted because their way of adapting it is literally just taking it straight out of the comic, which is a mistake. You know, it's like, that was not meant to be spoken out loud. And if Frank Miller thinks it sounds good out loud, then we've misidentified him. He's actually a fucking hack. Mm-hmm. But in writing it, it works. And in both cases,
sometimes.
And when it's said out loud, though, you're like, wow, this is really fucking cheesy. It sounds like the Harrison Ford voiceover from Blade Runner, which is some of the worst shit I've ever heard.
You realize that was done purposely bad.
What do you mean?
It was forced upon Ridley Scott by the studio.
And so he's like, you know what? I'm going to make my movie really shitty.
He actually wrote... No. Well, I guess that's the story, but he actually wrote a monologue so bad, he was like, this will ruin the movie. And they're like, you need to put a monologue in.
I actually listened to it for the first time this week. Before this, I had only seen the non-narrated version.
Yeah.
And it is hilariously bad. I can't believe that movie got a second chance. Mm-hmm. Like, if I had saw that, it would have just been lost. It would be right up there with, like, I don't know, Dragon Slayer 2 and, like, Tron. Well, I guess Tron kind of...
So we can move on from Zack Snyder. My general thing is, if Zack Snyder wasn't popular or successful,
then we'd have a better society as a whole.
Then people wouldn't hate on him.
Sucker Punch, I think, is a piece of shit.
But you haven't seen it.
What's interesting though is like I haven't seen it. You're right. I've just gone off the trailers and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's usually
we're
going
to talk about this again next week. By the way,
after we've seen it.
Can somebody pay for my ticket so I can?
Because that's usually how I like to judge things.
You come with us at midnight.
You come at midnight. Yeah. Somebody pays for my ticket.
I guess
I kind of owe you money for the last movie, huh?
Logan, wait.
I owe you two movies for the last movie.
Hey, can someone just pay for me to go on this movie?
Well, I refuse to pay for a Zack Snyder movie anymore. But like, it just so
despite liking one of two of the movies you've seen and not seeing the third one.
I guess so.
I think that we need...
You have a 50% success rate with this dude and you just hate him so hard.
I think we need a guest opinion. I think we need Dez's opinion here.
Do you want to turn it? Because if you turn it...
You're never going to get it right again.
That probably sounds like shit right now.
No, it sounds good.
Sounds fine.
Perfect.
Yeah.
My opinion?
Yeah.
On Zack Snyder. I really love Dawn of the Dead, but I think you have an excellent point, which I agree with very much so, regarding his sincerity. I thought there were moments in Dawn of the Dead where he believed enough in the scene that it comes across as genuine, and the rest of those movies are complete bullshit.
Really? It feels like a fucking like commercial, right?
I don't like those other movies. I saw 300 once, never again. I tried Watchmen a few times. Brandon keeps trying to turn the mic away because he's so biased for Zack Snyder.
Brandon hates Zack Snyder.
The big thing is, it really, like, because I had to think about it for a second, like, why do I hate this guy so much? Is it the time wrapping? He's like, well, time wrapping can be cool. Like, if you do it right, and you can't hate on somebody for a technique.
Clearly, you can, though, Logan.
No, it's really, he just doesn't feel sincere. He doesn't, I really get the same impression from that as I get from, like, a fucking, like, Reichardt commercial. It just feels like somebody just phoning it in for cash.
That's an interesting point. I never really thought about it like that, because I never really cared enough about his movies, but...
Actually, you know what? Actually, I just thought about this.
Oh, my God. whatever.
This is actually kind of a general problem I have. Actually, I think I've realized why I've gotten annoyed by your Zack Snyder hate, is I've always hated the assumption, I get this from, like, when gamers talk about, you know, certain games, I always dislike this, the kind of assuming... I dislike the assuming this, like, these personal ideas about the artists, like the insincerity. If you had, I mean, I understand that it doesn't feel that way to you because that's just something that comes across, but it's always this, like, have you listened, like, when I hear him talk or when he talks about the products, like what 300 is, I always give people the benefit of the doubt unless they prove me otherwise. And even if the movie sucked, I will just say, let's say all three of his movies sucked, there's nothing in it that makes me think he does anything other than try to make the best. And he's respectful.
There is nothing wrong with being insincere. There's nothing wrong with him not giving a fucking shit.
He should.
As long as the product feels sincere. Like, that's all that matters. When I watch the movie, I don't want to feel like I'm watching something that's fucking
we're divorcing the man from his product.
Yeah, no, but it's insincere. It's like, just a weird
so this gets into, like, duplication of art, right? Like, if you can make a perfect replication movie,
ooh, simulacra and simulation,
perfect.
Ooh,
if you could print depth information and, like, subsurface scattering perfectly, would that Mona Lisa be any less than the original?
Here's the problem is that your reasons for insincerity, though, seem to be simply be I haven't seen one of his movies.
That isn't it.
And nothing seems sincere about it.
There's a strong emotional disconnect.
I would say his movies are not emotional, but something can be sincere. Because here's the thing.
There's no emotion.
All three of his movies are all essentially adaptations. And I like that Watchmen was a movie that he, for example, I totally forget the dude's name who's making Uncharted. His whole thing is like, whatever, what the fuck?
Gus Van Sant, right?
No, it's not Gus Van Sant. The guy who, I forget his name. But he's like, whatever, what the fuck? Who cares about the story? Watchmen was a movie that was incredibly, a lot of people considered unfilmable, and he was very, I felt like he was very sincere in his attempt to recreate the comic book in movie form, and he did that for 300 also, and he's a guy who's tried to...
I think comic books should be comic books, and movies
that's
should
fine,
be
and that's a different discussion. It's the sincerity thing, and I've never gotten anything other than he's trying...
We're going to discuss that next week. We had another one in there. It's somebody's responsibility to, like, make a note of...
Which, by the way, if you do watch Watchmen, which you should... If you've read the comic books and you've read them soon enough that you remember them, he does a lot of subtle changes that are very specifically to bring the comic book medium, things that would fit movies better than the comic books. And that's one thing I like about Watchmen. He does change Watchmen a good deal.
How are we doing on time?
I think it's about time to wrap it up, actually, because we'll just continue discussion.
I'm pretty well buzzed, and it's
I'm pretty amped.
This is
and it's 7:36. You guys have your meeting what 8?
Like 8:30. I didn't get food though.
Let's get food.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're like smacking your face.
I have other stuff to do. Also,
hammered right now.
I'm hammered. I'm probably like, I kind of want to just keep going and, like, just release it as a double, like one on one day and one on another day.
We'll do a bonus one. How about that?
Can we just keep going? Can we take, like, a pee break and bio break and, like, just keep going for a little bit?
What break?
Okay. All right. Fine. All right, everybody. Thanks. This thus concludes this podcast. We'll have a little bonus one in a little bit.